approach the throne of grace by virtue of our relationship with you. Through your blood, we can go directly to the Father and lay down our request. Lord, be with us. Touch us. Help us. Strengthen us. Speak to us. Lead us and guide us, O Father. Break open, Lord, and knock down the walls of resistance that has surrounded the church today in America. And knock down the walls, O Lord, of aggression that's against the church of Jesus Christ. And let the light start shining in the darkness again in our nation and in our churches. And Lord, especially in this place that we call Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. Now, Lord, be with us tonight and be with those that we love so dearly. We just lift up Roy and Kevin and Sherwin, all those that we're praying for, Father, for healing tonight. Continuing and knowing, Lord, that you are with them and with us as well. Now, bless your word and bless us with your wonderful presence in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the book of Exodus tonight. In the Old Testament, as we continue our study, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 28. That's the only chapter I'm going to cover tonight, just one chapter. And this is a great chapter. You know, Exodus is a great book, and I'm not pushing myself through it this time. Normally, you know, on Wednesday nights, we'll try to cover three or four chapters and so forth. I didn't want to do that with the book of Exodus. I just felt like the Lord said, Bill, slow down. This is a very important book. They're all important. But to slow down and let's go through like we've been doing, we've explored, for example, the tabernacle. Remember, Moses, of course, is on the Mount Sinai alone with the Lord. He's going to be there for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he neither ate nor drank for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord was giving Moses the divine pattern, if you will, for the tabernacle and for the furniture of the tabernacle. And tonight, we're going to explore the garments of the priest. It's a very interesting study. And I put a title tonight, as I usually do in all the sermons, but the title tonight is For Glory and For Beauty. We're going to find out how precious these holy garments are. And you know, when we mention the word priesthood, there should be something that goes off in your heart, loved one. I mean that we have the precious, awesome privilege to go to God, go to our Father anytime, any place we might be in this world. We can go to Him with any need 24/7 because we're born again. Amen? Because Jesus, our forerunner, He's prepared the way for us that we can go there. And you know, listen, remember how we've been learning on Sundays that when we worship the Lord, He's unseen. He's present with us. His love is here. His power is here. His goodness is here. Everything we need is present. We just have to, by faith, believe that. Do you believe that tonight? That, you know what, you may have had a hard week this week. You know, and a lot of things going on. That horrible stomach virus is just sweeping through the church and nearly destroyed the whole office there. You know, everybody just throwing up everywhere. It was a horrible thing. I just left. I wouldn't put up with it, you know. Let's begin tonight, and let's look at Exodus chapter 28. It says, now, take Aaron, God is speaking now to Moses, now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, and from the children of Israel, now why? That he may minister to me. I love that. Moses, I want your brother. I want you to get him, and I want him to minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now, we know what happens over in Leviticus 10 to his sons, Nadab and Abihu. They die because they offer strange fire to the Lord. So we look at this tonight, and Aaron, remember, is the high priest. But as we go through and look at the garments, each piece, we have to remember that this is also a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, who is seated at the right hand of God tonight for us. Amen? He's there for you. He's there for me. We have a great high priest in heaven. And so it's a picture of our Lord, but it tells us Aaron's first responsibility. It tells him that your first responsibility, God says, is to minister to me. Do you ever look at your Christian walk that way? That when you know, we're all guilty of it. We wake up in the morning, we have our quiet time, hopefully. We go to the Lord, and the first thing we do is start telling the Lord everything is wrong. Isn't that right? We don't say, good morning, Lord. We don't say, we love you, Lord. We just say, oh God, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm saying. This side, I don't think you know anything, but maybe you side, you're stunned in silence. And we say, Lord, and you know, the first thing is to minister to the Lord. Pardon me, my allergies are crazy tonight. You ever wanted to put your hand down your throat and scratch? Oh, that's where I am right now. And Daryl, it's your fault. I believe it. No, no, I'm joking. And, it's driving me. Thank you, Lord. I just love it. And, so, you know, we start thinking about all that. And, you know, our first responsibility really as a priest unto God, because we're priest unto the Lord, is to minister to the Lord, to minister to our Father, where we wake up and we worship Him and we praise Him and we thank Him. You know, we are God's priest on this earth. Amen. We're also God's tabernacle. We're God's holy temple. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And I look and I say, oh Lord, let us never forget that we are a holy priesthood, as it says in Peter. And the purpose is for us to offer up spiritual sacrifices, offer up, that's what a priest does, offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, that's important. What do we do? How do we offer that up as a priest? How do we minister to God? How are those things? I mean, you know, when we offer up things that are acceptable to God, what do? Well, we minister first of all in the heavenlies. We go into the throne of grace and worship the Lord. And then we have responsibilities here as God's priest on this planet, as His ambassadors, ambassadors of Christ. But, you know, the Bible tells us very clearly, since we are priests of God, it tells us that we are to offer up things that are acceptable to God. Well, the first thing we're to do is Romans 12, remember? Is where we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. In Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. That word in the Greek is a picture of a priest presenting himself on God's altar, not to die there, but to live for God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Boy, that's what we're to do. So that's the very first thing that we have to do every morning. Say, Lord, you know, yes, I'm a living sacrifice, but sometimes we want to get off the altar and go do our own thing, don't we? And so we have to be careful with that. And also, we offer not only our bodies, but we also offer our praise to the Lord. Remember what it says in Hebrews 13, 15. It says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We enter in the morning in our prayer time, and before we mention anyone's name, you remember how we learned to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, what? Hallowed be Thy name. How do you hallow God's name? There's over 80 Old Testament names for God. There's Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. There's Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace. There's Jehovah Nissi, God is our banner. There's what's another one? Give me one. Jehovah Rapha. God is, listen, He is our shepherd. He is our healer. He is our righteousness. And we start just thanking Him, giving thanks to His name. Lord, You are my provider. You're everything that I'm ever going to need. And we start thinking about that. And that's what that means. And we also do something else. The Bible teaches us that we offer our bodies, we offer our praise to God, but we also offer our good works to the Lord. And it says, and that's well-pleasing in His sight when we are good Samaritans, when we do good things to other people. We can also offer up the sacrifice of our substance to the Lord. But I'll tell you, the greatest thing we can do is just simply fall in love with Jesus, stay in love with Jesus, and wherever He tells us to go, go. Amen. Oh, church, we should be so thankful. He is so worthy of our praise tonight. So He says to Moses, to Aaron, Aaron, I want Aaron to minister to me as a priest. Look, now look at verse 2. And you shall make, God is speaking to Moses now, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother. Here it is. Why? For glory and for beauty. I love that phrase. It'll be spoken a couple more times in our passages tonight. You know, when it says for glory and for beauty, that is a picture of Jesus Christ, isn't it? I mean, is there anyone any more beautiful than our Lord? Oh, and I tell you, we look at him tonight and he says, holy garments. Listen, I never thought about God being a clothes designer. Did you? I mean, you know what I mean? Like polo, you know, and I don't know what else, whoever made this funny looking shirt I'm wearing tonight. And, you know, it looks like I could play checkers on it, doesn't it? And, you know, but God's in the designing business. He's in the clothes designing business, but it's actually, pardon me, it's holy, holy garments. And so the high priest's clothing was to be holy, which means to be set apart. Now, listen very carefully. These garments that we're going to study tonight, they were only to be worn whenever Aaron, the high priest, was going to minister to the Lord there in the holy place and so forth, only when he's serving in the tabernacle. And when it says for glory, that's talking about the dignity, the honor, and the beauty of all of this. And so these garments were to be beautiful. You know, there's something that troubles me greatly today whenever people say, you know, that the church shouldn't be a beautiful place. God likes beautiful things. Amen? I tell you, he loves beautiful things. It says they're going to be for glory and for beauty. I believe God's place. That's why, you know, we keep the campus up out here. You know, we're a testimony to the city that we are, God's placed us in. We want a good testimony wherever we go. Amen? We don't want all those high weeds growing like it is at the Burger Box. I hope you're listening tonight. You know, cut those things down, man. What's wrong with you? You know? No, we're not going to be a bunch of trashy people. We're going to mow our yard. We're going to take care of what God's given us. But you know what? We're clothed tonight. We're clothed tonight with that glory and that beauty because we're clothed with the Lord, aren't we? You remember what the Bible says? Paul said in Romans 13:14, he says, but put on, but that literally means to clothe yourself, to put on or clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its desire. Oh, how we just need to just say, Jesus, I just want you to just fill me and clothe me. I want to do whatever you want me to do in my life. He says in verse 3, he says, so speak to the children of Israel. I'm sorry, so speak to all who are gifted artisans. And I have filled with the, in whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. There's that word again, that he may minister to me as priest. So, you know, whatever God commands us to do, I've always found out that he gives us the power to do it. Amen? You know, he says, I'm going to have people that are going to be able to do all this, and they'll be able to take care of all that I want, everything that I want made. And I have found out in my short life that we can only fulfill our calling and our gifting and whatever God wants us to do in the power of another. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's so wonderful to be able to sit back and say, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey. I know that you're working in my life. I know that, you know what, I'm just going to abide in the vine. You're the vine, I'm the branch. I am just going to abide in you and you in me. And if you do that, I know that I'm going to bear fruit because it says in John 15:5, without me, Jesus, you can't do anything at all. Just let God work through you. Just, you know, let God work through you. You know that God loves baby prayers. You know, you don't have to pray in King James like I do. You know what I'm teasing. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just pour out your heart to the Lord. Matter of fact, the Psalm 68 says, pour out your heart to the Lord. He loves you. He's your dad, your father. He's your Abba, Father. Listen, he knows everything you're going through. You can be honest with God. That's one thing that's so wonderful. You can be honest with God and he'll still love you. You be honest with your brother or sister, they may never speak to you again. But you can go to your Father in heaven, he'll never reject you. Never. You can tell him all the horrible things and he'll never reject you. I'll tell you what he will do. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you. He'll forgive you. He'll reinstate you. He'll resend you. Amen? That's because he loves us. He's God. Now I look at that and I say, oh God, that's what I want. I want to ask you a question. This church can accomplish so many great things for God, but will we? I ask, you know, I've never been one to ever put pressure in 20 years here. Never put pressure on people. I never beg people for anything. I never, you know, I just say, this is what we're doing. I hope you're getting involved in it and so forth. And you know, tonight I was walking around the entire church, something I don't get to do much of anymore, but just walking through classrooms and the playscape and the main lobby and looking on the land where the new sanctuary is going to go and just seeing the cafe and all the improvements, the wonderful offices that God has given us and so forth. May I say something to you tonight? I pray that what I'm about to say to you, you never ever forget. Please never take what God has given us for granted. Don't do that. Don't listen. Take care of what God has given to you. If we don't take care of what God has entrusted to us, then he'll not give us any more. Did you know that? If we abuse and tear up and destroy the things that God has given us, listen, he won't bless you. God doesn't bless destruction. Do you know that? No, he doesn't do that. And so, you know, I think, Lord, you've done so much for us. I'm so thankful. I nearly started weeping tonight as I walked through the church, just alone, just by myself, just looking, and then looking at all the servants, all the people that are serving, all the people that are praying, all the people that care about this work. And I nearly started crying, looking there at the playscape, thinking how far that God has brought us, all the material things, amen? Material, but also all the wonderful, the spiritual things. I mean, look what God has done. You know, there's LNFI. There's a public charity that's making a difference in not only here in the stateside, but also in Reynosa, Mexico, and as in January, perhaps other areas. I'll be talking to you as I'm already praying for the new year and looking ahead. And I start, or Love Never Fails Radio. We're being online now live, and all people all over the different parts of the world are actually listening, you know, on Sundays and tonight. All the things that people have done here and accomplished, and I just think, dear Lord, how good you are. And then all of it being paid for, amen? And I think, oh God, you're so good to us. I'm telling you, church, I'm not trying to get off the subject or anything like that, but you know what? We're priests unto the Lord. Take care of what God has given you. Never take it for granted. When you're walking through the building, you know, don't let children or your children, anybody's children, jump up and down on chairs and tear things up. Amen? Man, let's don't let that happen. In love, gently correct those little ones and say, no, that's for your home, not here. Now look at verse 4 with me. Verse 4 says, and these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe. Now watch this, a skillfully woven tunic, turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons. Here it comes again. Why? That they may minister to me as priest. So God says there are 6 garments I want you to make. He's given Moses telling him how to do it, but they're to be used when they are ministering unto the Lord. Now I want you to catch something. Did you catch that word skillfully? That's a very important word because it came out of the mouth of God. And you know what? God is saying, I want things done right. I want things done right in my house. I want things done right in my tabernacle. Everything that's in the tabernacle, everything that's in God's chapel, the church, is important unto God. In other words, God, I mean, the word skillfully just literally means let's don't be sloppy. Amen? And let's don't be sloppy for God. Let's do things for glory and for beauty. You know, whether you're an usher or you're on the staff or you're one of the pastors or you work at the kids' church or you're a Christian in the pew, you're a teacher, whatever, we should all come prepared to not only minister to the Lord, but to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, and that's a big, broad thing, isn't it? whatever you do, in word, that means everything that comes out of your mouth. In deed, that means whatever we do. It says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. I'm so sorry for this tonight, fellas. So word and deed takes in everything that we do, absolutely everything. You know, it says in Psalm 33:1, it says, rejoice in the Lord. That's what God wants. That's how he wants us to approach him, to rejoice in the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise him with for praise from the upright is beautiful. Our Father says that when you praise me, when you minister to me, it's glory, it's beauty. He says, it's beautiful. Did you know that? When God hears you singing to him off key, well, I don't know. That's what happens on my side. I don't know what happens over here. He loves it. Do you understand? He loves it. And then he says this. He says, praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. In other words, let it be fresh. And then he says something, though, about those who play those instruments. He says, play skillfully with a shout of joy. And what, you know, we should never, ever approach God with a casual attitude. Amen. God is a thrice holy God, and we're his people, and we're to approach him the right way. So it says in verse 5, and they shall take the gold, the blue, the purple, scarlet thread, and the fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Now, watch this now. Artistically worked. So all of those colors, remember, gold stands for deity. Blue is heaven. Purple is royalty. King of kings, the Lord of lords. Scarlet always stands for sacrifice, or the blood of Jesus. And of course, the fine linen speaks of perfect righteousness, the perfect life of our Lord. So it says it shall have two shoulder straps. Now, those are those braided gold chains, okay? Joined at its two edges. It'll be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod. Oh, you know, this is a praise of the night, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I even took one of those little sissy throat things, you know. It didn't work. And it says this little belt here, this band on the ephod, okay? And it shall be the same workmanship. It's going to be made of gold. And you can read all through and look at verse 9. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, six names on the other stone. Now watch this, in the order of their birth. Isn't that amazing? In other words, you'd start, see, who was the oldest? Reuben. And the youngest was Benjamin. So you would go from the oldest all the way to the youngest there. God said, isn't that amazing how God's setting all this up? He says, and with the work of an engraver in stone. So you'll set that onyx stone engraved in gold like the engravings of the signet. And you'll engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold. How beautiful that must have been. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as a memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron, now Aaron's a high priest. Listen to what it says. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord. Very important. On his two shoulders as a memorial. And you shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords that fasten the braided chains to the setting. Now, the ephod, it was like a sleeveless garment, okay? It just kind of just covered the priest a little bit here, the body, you know, of the priest, and it was intricately woven, and there was a band then that went around the waist. So it covered him totally, okay, the ephod. Now listen, it snapped here at the shoulders, and right on the shoulders where the straps hooked on, that's where those two stones with a setting in gold with the names of the children of Israel, that's where they were. So in other words, the high priest took the names of the children of Israel into the very presence of God, and he carried them before the Lord. Does that sound familiar to you? Of course it does. It says in Hebrews 9:24 about our great high priest, meaning Jesus Christ. It says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Listen, our great high priest sustains the entire universe on his shoulders. Amen. He does. Colossians 1:16-17, read it. Verse 17 says that by him all things consist. Means he holds everything together. Everything. He's holding you together tonight, whether you know that or not. Isaiah 9:6 says, and the government shall be on what? His shoulders. Listen, oh, I'm going to tell you something. One day at the second coming, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Amen. And let me tell you who's going to run this world, rule this world with, it says, with a fist of iron. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem and for 1,000 years. And guess what? We're going to come back with him and we're going to reign and rule with our Lord. I tell you, I'm so thankful that we know the future. Now, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know what's going to happen at the end. Amen. And we know who wins, and it's us. So I thank God for that tonight. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. Did you know that that is your position in Jesus right now? That we're, as far as Jesus is concerned, whenever he ascended to heaven, we went with him. Are you following me? He took our names right before the Father. We're actually, as far as Jesus is concerned, we're right there. That's our position. That's how secure you are tonight if you're truly in Christ and born again. Now, look at the breastplate, if you will. It says in verse 15, I'm so sorry again. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. Now, look how he tells us to do it. Artistically woven. See, God cares about everything. He wants it to be done right. He says, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod, and you shall make it of gold and blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine woven linen, the same type of linen we just about the ephod is in, okay? You shall make it, and it will be, now watch this, it shall be doubled into a square, a span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. So the breastplate, if you will, was like a vest, okay? I don't think it had a back, but I think it was just a vest like in the front, and it went over the ephod, over that outer garment, that outer tunic, okay? And it would set right here upon the breast, if you will, the chest, the heart area of the high priest. And it was for glory. It was for beauty. And it was folded double. So when you measure out what a span is and its length and half the span and so forth, it's a 9-inch square is what it is. So probably about a 9 by 9. And there on the little breastplate, when they folded it, the reason they folded it was because it made a pouch. And I'll explain why that pouch is in the back in a minute and what it contained. But look at verse 17. And you shall put settings of stones in it. 4 rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, topaz, emerald. This shall be the first row. Now the second row shall be turquoise, sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, agate and amethyst. And the fourth row, beryl, onyx, jasper. Now I know that each of those stones has a specific meaning, and I don't know what they are, okay? Now I'm sure that we could say, well, Bill, they're over. If you go over into Revelation, you'll find them in heaven and all that. Yes, I know. But I'm telling you that I'm not for sure what they mean. Do your homework and do a study and find out, though. Amen? So, it says, and the stones, they shall be set in gold settings. How beautiful that must have been. The stones shall have what? The names of the sons of Israel. 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet. Each one with its own name, they shall be according to the 12 tribes. Again, so the high priest, he entered the presence of God, and on the breastplate, there were those 4 rows with there of the stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And you know something? You're a precious stone tonight in God's eyes. Amen? Now go to verse 29 with me. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of what? judgment, on the breastplate of judgment, and look where it's going to be, over his heart when he goes into the holy place, the reason, as a memorial before the Lord continually. So the high priest, he carries on his heart, on his chest, on his shoulders as well too. They're on his shoulders and over his heart, the 12 tribes of Israel. So what does that mean? It means this, that each tribe, every person in that tribe was represented before God Almighty through the high priest. Are you following me? The high priest, Aaron, was the representative of the people. Now, he carried him not only on his shoulders, but also over his heart. He carried them in the presence of God with all of their faults, with all of their problems, with all of their victories and all of their hurts and all of their failures, just like Jesus does us. Amen? Listen to me. Jesus, our great high priest, carries you on his heart tonight. There is not a time that you're not in the heart of our Lord. He loves us so much. He carries us there. See, we have a representative in heaven. Jesus went to heaven for us. We need him there. Amen. It says in Hebrews 7:25, it says talking about Jesus, that he's able to save to the uttermost, our great high priest. He's able to save to the uttermost those, that's us, who come to God through him, since he always lives. He always lives to make intercession for you. You know what it means when that word intercession? It means that we have, Christian, a representative in heaven tonight who represents you before God the Father. Think about that. I look at that and say, oh Lord, you're so good. It says he's able to save to the uttermost. That means he's able to save us and carry us through every trial, through the horrible allergies that are in your body, or whatever you're going through, every dark day, and he's able to carry you through the very last day of the journey when you close your eyes. Amen. One day, if we're not raptured out of here, if the Lord tarries, we're going to close our eyes. But we're going to immediately be in the presence of the Lord. He's able to be with us until the very last second. He'll never going to leave us. I'm so thankful that there's one thing that Jesus can't do. Not one thing. Tell me one thing that Jesus can't do. The Bible says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful for that. And you've heard me say it many times. The word difficult is not in God's vocabulary. The word it's too hard for me is not in God's vocabulary. It's nothing is too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. He's able to do anything. He saves to the uttermost. Sometimes I wonder why Christians or the church today, they turn from so many other things for help instead of running to the throne of grace. I received a letter last night from Pastor Chuck. All the Calvary pastors did around the world. And it was heartbreaking to me. And Chuck, you know, is very so honest. He said, you know, it's 4:45 in the morning and I couldn't sleep even though I preached four services yesterday, which was a Sunday. And he said, you know, all the churches were so heavy on my heart. And the basis of what he said was that something I say all the time and I'm so agreement with, is he said, you know, guys, we got to make sure that we stay moving forward in the power of another. In other words, we've got to make sure it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. And then he went on and on and on, and he closed it out, and I could tell that his heart was just so heavy in a way, saying, fellas, if you started in the Spirit, you've got to finish in the Spirit. The flesh is not going to help us. Amen. And, you know, that's what we need. And I'm surprised. The reason I said what I just said is I'm surprised at how many in the church, they go for help someplace else instead of going to God. Listen, Jesus carries us in his heart. Go to the one who loves you. Go to the one who died for you. Go to the one who'll never leave you and never forsake you. Amen? Go to him. He loves you, and he is able to save you to the uttermost. That means completely. He knows what he's doing. He'll never, ever fail you. So verse 30. And ye shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I say that last year I said it this way, the other year I said it the other way. Who knows? But you know, it's the Urim and the Thummim or whatever it is there, however you say that. And they shall be over Aaron's heart. I love that. Over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now listen, we know that Jesus has taken our judgment. Amen? We know that Jesus died on the cross for us and he's taken our sin. Do your homework. You may disagree with what I'm about to say, and that's okay. But I do not believe whenever we speak here in this instance of Aaron bearing the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart, I don't think we're talking about the breastplate of judgment has nothing to do with sin. Okay? Not in our context. To know the text, read your context. I believe with all my heart that the breastplate of judgment speaks not of the judgment of sin, but it speaks about the judgment making, in other words, the right decision. Because a minute ago I said, you know, the judgment breastplate of judgment, remember, it had to be doubled. Remember that? God says it's going to be 9 by 9 or whatever there. It's got 4 rows of those stones. He says, and double it. And the reason he doubled it was because behind that was going to be a little pouch, okay? And in that pouch was going to be the Urim and the Thummim, okay? And so when it says about this judgment here, the Urim and the Thummim, it means it's Hebrew for lights and perfection, plural. Lights and perfections, plural. Some say that together they mean perfect knowledge. So why did the high priest have them? Well, he used them evidently to discern God's will in specific matters. That's why it was called the breastplate of judgment. It was to give, whenever there was decisions that needed to be made, they would evidently go to these. I'm not saying I understand all of it, and let me say something else. Nobody does either, okay? Yeah, there's a lot. You can read 25 books on it, but you're not going to find anything out new. Now listen, it says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7, it says, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod to me. And Abiathar, he brought the ephod to David. Now that suggests he's talking about the Urim and the Thummim. He says, so David inquired of the Lord saying, shall I, in other words, he brought the ephod, there's a pouch, there's the stones in front and behind that are those, the Urim and the Thummim. He says, now listen, he says to the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And then God answered him. Now listen. And God said, pursue, for you shall overtake them and without fail recover all. Speaking about David there at Ziklag, okay? Whenever they took the wives and all the booty and all the stuff away from him. Now, we don't really know much about all of that at all. But they're mentioned, at least 6-7 times in throughout the Bible. Although, after the time of David, I think they're only mentioned maybe in Ezra. I don't think they're mentioned hardly ever again. But the thing about it is that we just don't know much about them. We don't know how they determined God's will. Some say they were a white stone. Some say they were a black stone. The LXX in the Septuagint renders these words manifestation and truth. Urim begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The other one, the Thummim, with the last letter of the alphabet. So they would, some people believe that the first one would mean yes and the second one would mean no. We don't know. We don't have a clue. But I do know this much. We have God tonight. Amen. We have God's word tonight. We also have the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and guide us into all truth. But you know something? Now listen, we also have a breastplate over us tonight. Amen. We have a breastplate of what? Righteousness. Now, church, listen to me. Oh, it's over our heart. It protects us. Do you know, I'm going to ask you a question. When you think of righteousness, do you ever think of it as a weapon? Because it's listed where? In the armor of God. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 6:14. Standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It protects our heart. It comes over us. Do you ever think of that as a weapon? Boy, I'll tell you, it is a weapon. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:7. It says, by the word of truth, Paul says, by the power of God, here it is, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, that means when you're being attacked, and on the left, that means to defend, okay? So only perfect righteousness can guard your heart. Remember, it says, Paul told the church at Philippi, he says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry, don't fret, don't let your heart be torn apart, you know, by worry and so forth. He says, but with prayer, supplication, let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving, and the God of all peace will do something. He will what? Protect your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, you say, Lord, God says, I'll protect. That word means I'll set a military arsenal around the two places that the devil loves to torment you, your heart and your mind. Listen, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, whose righteousness are we putting on? Jesus's perfect righteousness, perfect standing. In other words, how wonderful to know that when you come to Christ and ask Jesus to come into your heart, let me stop right there. Do you know why the devil can torment so many Christians' heart and their minds? It's because they do not believe, or they have not been taught, what justification really is. That's why their heart is just going, oh God, you can't forgive me. Am I really going to make heaven? Am I really saved? Oh, I just don't think that. Listen, that's not coming from God. If you're in Christ, you have been put into your account or imputed into your account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Justified means simply just as if I'd never sinned. In other words, God takes our sins now, and what does he do with them? He puts them as far as the east is from the west. And my Bible says in Hebrews 10 that God forgets our sins. He remembers them no more. Church, listen. Jesus' righteousness is a weapon. The devil comes and torments you in your heart or your mind. You go, listen, man, I know what I've done. I know that I failed. Yes, and I know that I've sinned. Oh, I did that 30 years ago. I did all those things. But here's the deal. I'm forgiven. And I have a breastplate of perfect righteousness. And not only that, devil, I have the sword of the Spirit. And not only that, I have the shield of faith that's going to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen? And that way you just go, I'm just putting out that lie right now. Righteousness is over our heart. Don't ever forget that. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the robe very quickly. And you'll make the robe of the ephod of all of blue. That's beautiful. All of it's going to be blue. And there'll be an opening for the head in the middle of it. And you shall have woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon it, its hem, you shall make of pomegranates. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. Watch this. Pomegranates of what? Of blue and purple, scarlet, all around the hem, all the way around the bottom. And bells of gold between all of them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem, the robe, all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers. And it will sound, will be when it's heard. He'll go into the holy place before the Lord. And when he comes out, that he may not die. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, that is an outfit, isn't it? You imagine all those pomegranates and all that colors around here, the hymn, and you know you got the bells sounding when you walk. I'd like to have that to enter the pulpit like that. I'm serious, you know? Okay. I think that'd be wonderful. In other words, it was going to be all seamless. It was going to be all blue. I'm telling you, is that a beautiful robe or what? And it speaks, of course, of the heavenly character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, listen, these bells, well, they suggest joy. So it's like the joy of the Lord is our strength. The pomegranates suggest fruitfulness, that our walk be fruitful before the Lord. But what they really did is that all those bells were going off. Now listen, they could not, the children of Israel could not see what the great high priest was doing. Amen? Because only the great high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, not the holy place, but the Holy of Holies alone. And then only once a year, you know, and put the blood down, the atonement for one more year for the sins of Israel on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. But now listen, the thing is that the children of Israel couldn't see him doing that, but they could hear him doing that. Amen? That must have been something to hear those bells going off. And another thing is that it was telling the children of Israel something else, that he was still alive. Amen? Yeah, in other words, just Aaron, get in there and put the blood down and get out. And as long as they could hear those bells, they were going, oh, that's joyful. Amen. In other words, keep those bells ringing, keep moving, hallelujah, you know, shake it, whatever you need to do. And he said, and then get out of there. Listen, God is so good. We hear a joyful sound in heaven. It says the angels rejoice in heaven whenever one person comes to Christ, one sinner repents. Oh, the joy that must be there. And then we look now at the turban. Now we've got another piece here. It says, and you'll also make a plate of pure gold, engrave on it like the engraving of the signet. Now it says, holiness to the Lord, or the Lord is holy. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban, and it shall be on the front of the turban, this gold plate that says holiness to the Lord, okay? So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, and that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted, that they may be accepted, that they may be what? Accepted before the Lord. And you shall, and there's that word again, skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread, and you shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of a woven work. This turban was so, it was for glory and it was for beauty. It was just a simple white, I should say all white linen cap, okay? And it had that little blue sash thing kind of hanging down. How beautiful that must have been. And then on the front was that a golden plate engraved there, holiness to the Lord, or the Lord is holy. And it meant when Aaron went before Aaron the high priest went before God, God says, then I will accept the children of Israel. He represented them. Are you following me? Now listen, are we accepted by God? Oh, church, listen. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6 that we are accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus. Remember, you know that, you remember what I've always said about that. That word means there to be accepted in the beloved. We are Christians. It means that God accepts you just the same way he would accept his own son, Jesus Christ. Let me get to you another way. It means that God loves you, the Christian. Listen to me now. God loves you just as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, when I hear people tell me, Christians say, God doesn't love me. How could he love me? I go, oh, wait a minute. Come over here and let's sit down. Let's have a Bible study. Amen? Because God loves you. You can't change his love. Listen, I'm going to tell you something to you. We cannot make ourselves more acceptable to God. You can't do it. The only way to make yourselves acceptable to God is to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? That means you're born again. That means you're a believer. That means Jesus lives in your heart. That means you've been bought. You've been purchased. That means Jesus is living in your life. Now watch this. Let's look at this last part so we can go nurse our allergies tonight. Let's look at the garments now for the priest in verse 40. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes. Those are those little belts for them, okay? And you'll make hats for them for glory and beauty. I love that. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, on his sons with them. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, which we'll learn about next time, that they may minister to me as priest. and you shall make for them linen trousers. Say that with me. Linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach, these little linen trousers, reach from their waist down to their thighs. In other words, God says, I don't want any flesh. That's exactly what he's talking about, folks. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come to the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. You see that word? Die. It shall be a statute forever to them after this and his descendants after them. So these linen trousers, undergarments, folks, listen to me. They're essential. I'll tell you how essential they are. If they ministered without them, it meant certain death. You know what? God's word is true. God has a reason for everything that he does. God says, don't come to my tabernacle. And we can apply that here. God says, don't come up. Don't come, and if you're not going to dress appropriately, now I'm not talking about if you're wearing flip-flops and, I'm not meaning any of that. In other words, God is saying, if you're going to approach me, it can't be in the flesh. Do you understand? God says, it's not going to work that way. See, we can have, you can have worship that where instead of worshiping God, you're worshiping the worship. You see what I mean? Yeah, man. Listen, God says, no, I want you to worship me. See, if you start worshiping the worship, then all of a sudden it's just a bunch of flesh, and God doesn't honor the flesh. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants you to move forward in the power of another. Listen, all that we do in our life, you are a priest unto the Lord. Do it for glory and for beauty. And who is glory and beauty? His name is Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we praise you. We thank you for your word. Oh God, we thank you. And Lord God, we will never ever, in our hearts, we'll never take all that you've given us here at Calvary for granted. Oh, we'll never abuse it or use it, Lord. Or any of those things. We want to take care of what you've given us. We love you. We're thankful, Jesus, that you died for us, that you ascended for us, and that you're interceding for us. And one day you're going to come back for us. We thank you, Lord, that we can walk out of here tonight in your strength. That we can face tomorrow in your strength. Knowing that you're praying for us. That you ever live, you always live to make intercession for us. You're gonna complete what you started in us, Father. You're gonna bring us home. You're gonna get us home. This world is not our home. We love you tonight. And we praise you tonight. Oh Lord, bless your people. Bless them, Lord. Bless their finances. Lord, that unexpected harvest from heaven. Oh, let it just be poured out upon them. Let every need be met. And let every need be met, Lord, tonight, to those that are listening and all the emails that I've received today of all the heartache of so many people. Oh, God, reach into their lives. Let your light shine so they can find their way through the darkness. And we love you tonight. And we praise you tonight. And we are so thankful for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And the church says, amen. Would you stand?